Now let us turn to John chapter 14, one of the most wonderful portions of Scripture in all of the Bible, and follow along with me as I read, beginning in verse 1, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." As Jesus gathers with his disciples in John chapter 14, it would be now just a little more than 12 hours before he would be crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that there was much anxiety building and that there would be great discouragement and anxiety in the lives of the disciples in the days upcoming. And so he gathered them together. And in gathering them together, he says something to them that I want you to hear this morning. And I want you to see it as well in John chapter 14 and verse 1. And I want you to imagine Jesus with these disciples as he speaks to them and says, "Let not your heart be troubled." The heart is the seat of our emotions. The word heart in the Bible speaks of the totality of the inner man. And there are troubling times to the inner man, times of emotional upheaval, times of discouragement, depression, anxiety. And Jesus is anticipating this, and he says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, why is it that only Jesus can come with such a calming reassurance? Why is it that someone focusing on Jesus can receive this promise, "Let not your heart be troubled"? Well, as we turn to John 14 and consider these words, we know that we also live in a troubled world, a time when fears begin to compound, a time when our hearts can be overwhelmed with layer upon layer of difficulty. And if we're not careful when troublesome times come, it's tempting to seek an escape. Many times those escapes are sinful. Many times they are wasteful. And the fruit is devastating. I heard about two men recently who went down to the heart of the Brazilian jungle, and they bumped into each other there, and they began to have some small talk. And finally, one of them said to the other, "Why are you here?" And the man said, "Well, I'm here to escape the COVID-19 crisis. I just had to get away." And he said to the other man, "Why are you here?" And the other man said, "Well, I'm here because my daughter just began violin lessons." Now, I don't know what's stressing you out right now. I know a lot of people in their homes, kind of confined there, have been stressed. And a lot of folks are troubled with the news that comes daily about the virus and the challenges to the economy. Many different kinds of trouble mount up into our lives. But Jesus comes to his disciples, and most of you are a disciple of Christ, and he offers hope. And today we're going to see that only Jesus can offer this type of hope. And I want you to know why. I want you to see, first of all, today that there is hope in a person. We can find hope in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you caught it a moment ago. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, there is hope in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Focusing on Christ will cause our troubles to distill, our troubles to fade away. God is calling us today to focus on Christ during this COVID-19 virus. Prior to it, perhaps we were busy with work. Perhaps we were busy with our agenda. But God has slowed down an entire nation, an entire world, and I believe, so that we might focus on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone might say, well, how does a focus on the person of Jesus make a difference? Well, let's think about it, shall we, this morning? Think about what is so different about Jesus that he would say, believe also in me. I want you to understand there's hope in a person because of his divine nature, because he is not just another man, just another teacher. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost as the very Son of God and is equal with God the Father in his attributes of deity. I think of the scripture in John 1 and verse 14, which says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh, took the form of a man, and dwelt among us. Colossians 2 and 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. And so because of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, he alone can provide hope for us this morning. Also, he provides hope because of the redemptive work that he accomplished. Last week, we focused on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this wonderful work. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would die on Calvary's tree for you and for me. Colossians 1 and 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." So when you consider who he is, God in the flesh, and when you consider what he did, he shed the blood on the cross, you begin to realize why faith in him is such a wonderful privilege and why it is the access that we need for hope in this hour. I heard about a pastor who once witnessed a deathbed conversion of a friend. And someone asked him, he said, "Do you really think that a deathbed repentance can do away with a whole life of sin?" And the preacher said, "No." The friend was quick to say, "Well, what do you mean by that?" The preacher said, "Only Calvary can do away with a whole life of sin." And my friend, it's not necessarily what you say or where you are when you say your prayer to the Lord. What matters is that from your heart, you are putting complete faith in Jesus Christ and that you are trusting him alone to save you. And this is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Matthew 9 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Do you recognize today that only God can forgive sin? And Jesus, as God in the flesh, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We can trust him because of his redemptive work. Not far from New York City, there is a graveyard. And in that graveyard, there is a tombstone. On the tombstone, there is no name. There is no date of birth, nor the date of death. There's no epitaph, no eulogy given. There is only one word on that gravestone, and it is the word forgiven. And friend, today I want you to understand that God provides through Jesus Christ the forgiveness that all of us need. You see, so much of the anxiety that we experience in this life, so much of the overwhelming sense that comes into our troubled hearts is due to the fact that we know we fall short of the glory of God. We know that we are not perfect. We know that we have all failed and sinned. And yet Jesus Christ shed his blood to offer forgiveness. And with that forgiveness comes peace that passes understanding. If you are saved this morning, rest in his forgiveness. If you have never accepted Christ as Savior, in just a moment we're going to learn how to find the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You can find hope in Christ and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so today, we are blessed to know that we have hope in Jesus Christ. There was a military chaplain years ago that reported to a new duty station. And as the chaplain was getting to know the troops, some of the men came up to him and they began to ask him some questions. And one of the men said, sir, do you believe in a literal hell? And as he asked that question, the clergyman said, no, I do not. And the men asked their superior officers if the chaplain could be removed. They wanted him to resign. They didn't want him as a chaplain. And their response to the superior officer when he asked why was to simply say this, if there is no hell, then we don't need him as a chaplain. And if there is a hell, then we don't want him to lead us astray. You see, folks, everybody wants to know the truth. And the truth is very simple. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to shed his blood on Calvary's tree so that all who believe in him will have hope, that we might know that heaven is our home and that we might escape hell for all of eternity. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sins. That word redeem means that our sins are covered. That means that we have been purchased by the blood of Christ and that we may have a home in heaven for all of eternity. And so I say to you this morning, there is hope in a person. But this text also tells us another reason why our hearts do not need to be troubled today. Not only because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, but I would share with you this morning, secondly, there is hope in a place. There is hope for you in a place that God is preparing. Now notice that in verse number 2 of John chapter 14, what a wonderful chapter this is. The Bible says, as Jesus speaks, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, many people think about the heavens, and they think about their ideas and imaginations. Maybe they've watched some Star Wars movies, or maybe they have looked through a telescope into the skies. And when they hear the word heaven, different thoughts come to their mind. But the Bible tells us specifically that it is a literal place. It is a prepared place. I believe heaven is a wonderful place. It is the eternal abode of God's people. And there's hope in that place. And so we're going to study for just a moment what Jesus meant when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to realize heaven is a place. It is a literal functioning place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, he says, let no doubt intervene, let no gloom encompass us, dying is but going home. Now, many of you have spent a lot of time in your homes lately, and the more time we spend, we have the tendency to scuff a wall or make a mess. But God has prepared a perfect place for you and for me. Heaven is a literal place. In fact, the Bible tells us it's a place with streets of gold and gates of pearl. I like to say it's a gated community where there is no graffiti, there's no crime, there's no sickness, there's no hunger. It is a place where Jesus Christ himself illuminates and brightens the existence of all who reside there. It is a wonderful place. It's a prepared place, Jesus said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He was using here the Jewish marriage illustration as the betrothed to a young Jewish woman would go to prepare a place for his bride to be. And then there would be a grand reception in that place. And Jesus said, just as the betrothed would go and the groom would prepare for the bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus said, I'm preparing the place for you to come so that we might spend eternity together. After the bridegroom would sign the marriage contract, the betrothal period would begin, and the preparations were underway. And my friend, the day that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you can know that there's a home waiting for you in heaven, and that Jesus is preparing that place for you. Think about these words in 1 Peter. You may like to turn there in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It tells us more about this process. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, Jesus, when He left this earth, and He knew that would be troubling for the disciples. He knew when they saw Him ascend up into heaven that their heart would be troubled. So He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. He says, understand something. I'm simply going away to prepare a place for you. It's not that I'm leaving you forever. I'm preparing a place so that we might come together. And Peter tells us this place is incorruptible. There's no rust. There's no decay. It is undefiled. There's no sin. There's no cancer. There's no COVID-19. It is undefiled. He says it fades not away. It's not something that is temporary like the residences of this planet Earth. But my favorite part of 1 Peter chapter 1 is where it says, reserved in heaven for you. God says, I want you to know that this place is reserved for you. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, a reservation is marked down, and you can know that when you arrive to heaven, it's been prepared for you. Oh, what a blessing to know that. I know that many people have canceled reservations the last few months, hotels and airlines, and many have said, I don't want to go anywhere. But I want you to understand this reservation for heaven has been sealed. And when you're saved, the name, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a wonderful promise that we have a home in heaven that is undefiled, and it can be reserved simply by faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see this place called heaven. Jesus is preparing it for us, and it is a permanent residence. Oh, in Revelation 21 in verse 4, we read more about heaven. It tells us that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Oh, what sorrow people have experienced this past week. Even as we're told, we're flattening the curve of COVID-19, yet there have been days where the death toll has spiked so high. People have died without loved ones at their side, without a chaplain or a pastor at their side, dying alone. But may I say that when Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are never alone. May I say to you this morning that with Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Revelation tells us that in heaven there's no tears, there's no pain, there's no sickness. This is hope that no political party can offer. This is hope that no church can offer. This is hope that only Jesus can offer to the believer today. Oh, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says it this way, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. John the Apostle said in 1 John 3 and 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, not only is there a wonderful home that's been prepared for us in heaven, not only is there a place for you that are the redeemed of Christ, but there's also a new body awaiting you. The Bible says there in 1 John that when he shall appear, not only will we see him, but we shall be like him. We'll have a glorified body, a new body, and a new home for all of eternity. Oh, you say, give me more detail on that. I'm going to tell you some of it just comes down to faith in the Word of God. But I do know that when Jesus arose from the dead and when he appeared to his disciples, he literally walked through the wall of one house, literally ascended up back into heaven and was transported there. I believe our new bodies will have no pain, no disease. They will be like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, the world may have a sullen spirit and a discouraged spirit, but God says, be comforted with the fact that there is hope in a person, and his name is Jesus. And there is hope in a place, and the name of that place is heaven. And you can claim that as your very own as a child of God. I'm thankful that in Jesus Christ we have such hope today. On the day of Billy Graham's death last year, there of course were many who gathered, many various different people came to speak at the funeral. Governor Mike Huckabee stood and said these words. He said, when I heard this morning that Billy Graham had died, I said, that's fake news. He is more alive right now than he's ever been. My friend, if you are in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You'll be alive forevermore with Jesus Christ. There's hope in a person. There's hope in a place. But may I say finally this morning, there's hope in a promise. And I want you to see the promise now. You see, Jesus says in John 14 and verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if all we did was gather and talk about Jesus as the person, that would be wonderful. And heaven as the place, that's awesome. But the best part is that we serve a God who is powerful enough to deliver on these promises. This is not just a religious moment of speaking today. This is founded upon the truth of God's Word, and the Bible is very clear that we have a promise of personal resurrection. Do you remember one of the verses from last week, John 11, 25? Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is the promise of God to you and to me, that if we believe in him, even though we die, yet shall we live, and we live eternally because of Jesus Christ. This is the promise of resurrection to all who believe on Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that it's a promise not only of resurrection, but it's the promise of eternal life. If you have a Bible this morning, turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. I want you to see what the Bible says here in 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, here God says, I want you to know that you have everlasting life. Now, I want you to think about this morning. Do you know that you have everlasting life? Is this something that's settled in your heart? Something that you have an assurance of? Years ago, I was speaking to Congressman J.C. Watts, and I said to him, tell me how you got saved. He said, I went to a revival meeting, and the preacher said, if you're 99% sure that you're saved, you're 100% lost. In other words, if you're saved, you can know it based upon the Bible. You may not always feel as close to God as you'd like to feel, but you can always know that you have eternal life. John the Apostle said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Friend, do you know that today? Because yes, we have hope in a person, Christ, in a place, heaven. but our hope is found in the promise of God to deliver. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can claim that promise as your very own today. And so we see God giving us His Word that we can have eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50, "Now I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump will sound. The dead in Christ will raise incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." In other words, there is coming a day, according to the promises of the Bible, when this corruptible body will put on incorruptible, and when we will dwell with the Lord for all of eternity. Oh, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. There is hope in Jesus, and only in Jesus can you have the hope of eternal life. And so I want to remind every believer today, lift up your heart, my friend. Let not your heart be troubled. I know difficult times abound, but if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have hope, and you know it today. But there might be someone watching us this morning that doesn't know it. You don't know the hope that is found in the person of Christ. You don't know that there's hope in a home in heaven. You've never really received the promise of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're not 100% sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you do not have hope in Christ, you can have it today. For the Bible declares, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, these are emphatic promises from the Bible that you may know that you have everlasting life. If you would like to know that you have everlasting life, you've already heard me preach today. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus shed His blood to cover your sin. Now you must simply call to Him. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. And you can do it simply by praying to God from your heart, from your car, from your kitchen table, wherever you might be. Would you say something like this to the Lord? Let me help you pray this morning. Simply say to the Lord Jesus, "Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died and rose again for me. Right now, I'm turning to you, Jesus, and I'm trusting in you only to be my Savior." Friend, when you trust Christ to be your Savior, that reservation for a home in heaven is made. It is sealed by the Spirit of God. Would you like to do that today? Just call to the Lord and just simply say, "Dear Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart, forgive my sin, be my Savior. I trust in you and you alone right now." And when you call upon the Lord to save you, the Bible is clear that you can rest in the promise of His person. Jesus is the Son of God, the place of heaven for you. He has the power to make this possible in your life. If you've prayed to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I want you to press the little button on your screen right now that simply says, "I accepted Christ." Some of you, perhaps last week, texted us and the text did not go through. If you've accepted Christ last week or this morning, I want you to press that button. We want to rejoice with you and we want to respond with some materials for you. We'd like to send you a new believer's booklet and some other materials. If you've accepted Christ, let me encourage you to press that button and we want to rejoice with you. And if you already know Christ as your Savior, I want to remind you, friend, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said, and remember His promises just for you. Stand on the promises of His Word this week. Next Sunday morning, we'll continue to study what it means to trust in only Jesus and how He provides for us specifically as His children in times like these. Oh, in times like these, we need a Savior, and I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is our Savior. I'd like to pray with you as this service concludes this morning. Let's pray for those who have prayed to receive Christ, and let's ask God to give us strength throughout this week, shall we? Father, bless those who have prayed to receive you as their Savior today. May they walk in newness of life. Help those who are saved that we might realize that we don't need to be overwhelmed because you have a plan and you have promised us a place in heaven for all of eternity. Now, Lord, with that hopeful spirit, may we serve you and live for you this week. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.